Pastor Beth and Matt are at some type of seminar today, so we want to remember them as well. I want to welcome our guest, Brother Dave's back, resurrected. Trudy, thank you for coming. I felt like God was wanting me to share this, so I hope it is. In the book of Revelation, Jesus appears to the disciple John and tells him to write all of these seas and address the seven churches in Asia Minor. At the end of each of his words for the seven churches, John proclaims, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And this word still applies to us today here at Wellspring. What is the Spirit saying to us at this time? The prophet Daniel was greatly gifted by God and could see things that no one else could. While he was a prisoner in Babylon, the king Nebuchadnezzar had a disturbing dream. He called all his wise men, diviners, seers, sorcerers, not only to interpret the dream, but to tell the king what the dream actually was. No one could do it. The king commanded that all the so-called wise men be executed. Daniel was one of the king's wise men. The word says Daniel interceded with wisdom and tact. He called his friends together, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they had a prayer meeting. During the night, God revealed the mystery to Daniel. He was able to tell the king the dream and interpret it. Being careful to give all the glory to God, saying, "No wise man explained to the king this mystery, but there is a God in heaven who can." As a result, all the wise men were spared. Daniel and his three friends all got promoted. Daniel was described by the Babylonians as a man who had a keen mind with knowledge and insight and had the spirit of the holy gods. They did not realize that all Daniel's special gifts came from the one true Most High God. Most of us are not as gifted as Daniel. Our brain can only hold so much. But when we have the mind of Christ, which we do, through the help of the Holy Spirit, we have an unlimited source. When we pray and seek and wait, we can activate the counsel of God like Daniel did. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel received a vision that he didn't understand. Daniel was now in Persia. He fasted and prayed and mourned for 3 weeks for the answer. On the 21st day, the angel Gabriel appeared to him to explain the vision. Gabriel explained to Daniel that he was delayed by the prince of Persia, a demonic spirit over Persia, and needed help from Michael, the archangel, to defeat the demon and answer Daniel's prayers. Gabriel then told Daniel he was going to return to continue the battle with the prince of Persia, so the prince of Greece could come. Persia would later be conquered by Greece by Alexander the Great. So it's interesting that the spirit shifted now from this prince over Persia to the prince of Greece, because Greece was in control of that region. The fact that there are demonic forces over regions of the earth lines up with what Paul talks about in Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces in heavenly realms. Just as there was demonic forces battling over regions in the time of Daniel, it is no different now. There are principalities of darkness battling over all nations, including ours. I'm just reminded of like the communist nations, that spirit that hovers over like China and Cuba, and that spirit of communism and atheism. All of us here at Wellspring have been in some kind of battle over the past few years. When Paul refers to wrestling, it is like hand-to-hand combat. It often feels like we're in a personal battle with unseen forces. That is why Paul encouraged us to put on the whole armor, the helmet of salvation to protect our minds and thoughts, the breastplate of righteousness to guard our hearts from the anxiety, worries, and fears of life, the girdle of truth around our waist, that we would know the truth, we'd speak the truth, the truth would set us free, we'd have the truth in all areas of our thinking, we'd understand the truth about the Lord, ourselves, and others. We're told to shod each of our feet with the gospel of peace, to carry that gospel of peace wherever we step, proclaim it fearlessly, the shield of faith in our left hand, and to repel all the fiery darts, all the lies, schemes, tricks, attacks of the enemy, the snares of the enemy, sickness, and the sword of the Spirit in our right hand, to drive the enemy back, to defeat him, to crush him under our feet, for greater is Jesus that is in us than he that is in the world, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Besides Paul reminding us to put on the whole armor, he encourages us to be alert and keep praying for all the saints, just like we do here at Wellspring every Sunday or on our prayer chain. That's something that I think that we're very, very proactive on, praying for all the saints, all the needs of our brothers and sisters. Peter also reminds us to be self-controlled and alert. Our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Peter reminds us to resist and stand firm, Paul says. The book of Daniel finishes at chapter 12, where God gives the prophet some final insight to the end times. There shall be an increase in knowledge, but none of the wicked will understand, but the wise shall understand. Paul again reminds us, and Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit says that in later times someone will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. It's worth noting that regular church attendance in the United States has decreased over 25% in the last few years. A lot of it has to do with the virus, but it started actually before the virus, this decline. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Right now, there is a great concern from parents about what is being taught in our schools and universities. It is important for parents and grandparents to be aware of what is being taught in our schools. Just this week, a school district in Illinois decided to allow Satan clubs to be set up in their schools, like a regular club, like a camera club or an art club. Now they have Satan clubs. And the reason how they got around this, they're saying that if one thing can be taught, if religion can be taught, then the idea of Satan and atheism and that can be taught as well, even though we're not allowed to mention God in school anymore. Children's networks, even like Nickelodeon, are using their influence to indoctrinate even the youngest of our children into an ungodly agenda. It's important that we're aware of what our kids are being taught, what they're watching on TV, because it can slip by without us even realizing it. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul talks about the fact that the power of lawlessness is already at work. If it was already at work in Paul's day, how much has it increased in our time? Paul talks about the great delusion coming for those who refuse to love the truth. Jesus warns us in Matthew 24:24, false prophets and false Christs will perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Let him who has an ears, let him hear. We probably all heard about the incident with the synagogue down in Texas last night, and it's over anyway. They don't know what actually motivated this and how it's going to all play out. We just see how there's a lot of persecution for people of faith. There's no doubt that Christianity is under attack. We don't always hear about the persecution of Christians in other parts of the world. The fact is that Christians are still the most persecuted of all the faiths. In Sri Lanka, at Easter in 2019, almost 400 Christians were killed in a series of bombings at three different churches. Just this past December, everybody remembers the Christian missionaries that were kidnapped in Haiti. Thankfully, due to prayer and the grace of God, they were all spared. In 2017, 26 Christians were killed by a madman at a small Baptist church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. A small church, not a mega church, just a small country church. This type of evil often makes the headlines, but there is a more subtle form of persecution that the enemy uses. Over a period of years, like the frog being slowly cooked in a pot of hot water, the enemy has infiltrated not only our schools, but our government, media, culture, entertainment, businesses, the family, and even the church. First, prayer and Bible reading were taken out of our schools. Then the Ten Commandments could not be displayed in our government buildings. Abortion was legalized in 1973. Over 60 million children have been aborted since then. A whole generation lost. People are harassed for displaying a nativity scene or saying Merry Christmas. A pastor in Canada this last year was arrested for keeping his church open during COVID. Later on, his house was set on fire. Over the years, a new domination has entered the church called Universalism. Universalism is the idea that all people will be saved whether they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior or not. This obviously contradicts our Christian belief. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Politicians like to use the phrase, "We are battling for the soul of America, the soul of our nation." Most are unaware that the real battle is taking place in the heavenly realms. Organizations like the UN, the WTO, World Trade Organization, the EU, European Union, the WHO, World Health Organization, G7, were created for the betterment of mankind. The problem is that mankind is looking to these type of organizations to solve their problems and looking away from God as our hope. The best way to solve the world's problems is to teach them the way God does things. Psalm 121:1-2, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In Revelations, Babylon the Great represents the whole political and religious systems of the world, one world order. This is where the enemy is leading us. God's people need to be alert, wise, discerning. The church needs to take back its rightful role of leadership in the world. It's interesting to note that like our famous universities like Harvard, Yale, Princeton, all were founded by Christian organizations, Christian men, and a lot of them were originally taught were going to be schools of theology, and how that's totally the opposite now, where God is not even accepted anymore. We often blame climate change for a lot of the world's disasters, but could it be that God is lifting his hand of protection and allowing these things to be a part of his divine judgment? The Bible makes it clear how much God loves the nation of Israel. But when they turned away from him and followed other gods, he allowed droughts, famines, plagues to come upon his own people. In our nation and the rest of the world, is our nation and the rest of the world loved any more or less than God's chosen people? Addressing the unbelievers of his day, Jesus sums it up in Matthew 13:13, quoting Isaiah the prophet. "You will be ever hearing but not understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. Otherwise they might see with their ears, see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." And addressing believers at that time, he says, "Blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear." Romans 13:11-12 is just a reminder for us. And do this understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, and the day is almost here. And also in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And I just want to close with Jesus' words in John 16:33. I just want to remind everybody that in this world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Just some of Jesus' final words. And so we do have hope for the future. I didn't want to leave you with no hope today. So be of good cheer. Is there anybody have any comments or thing they want to say?